Yesterday we reflect on Saints Joachim and Anne, the parents of the Blessed Virgin Mary. That's what we call them in English, Joachim and Anne. The Spanish tradition, Joaquin and Anna, Santa Anna. It's an interesting feast because it rises out of the ponderings of the church over the centuries. It doesn't come from the scriptures, not directly anyway. There's no mention of Mary's parents anywhere in the scriptures. Of course she had parents, everybody has parents. But what happens is, once the Son of God became man, once God entered into the world in human nature, everything changed. And the more we reflect on the incarnation, the more we start to understand the whole story of the human family. So the focus is always on Jesus Christ. He's at the center of it all. If you take him out of the picture, there's nothing. The whole structure collapses completely. But with Jesus Christ there, the cornerstone, we start to think, well, okay, he's God and man. He came into the world by being born of a woman. So as soon as you start thinking about Jesus Christ, you can't get very far without thinking about the Blessed Virgin Mary. So devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary goes all the way back. Not much after that, you think, well, what about Mary's husband, St. Joseph? So as we know, devotion to St. Joseph has developed much later and is arising strongly in our own day. We just had a year of St. Joseph last year. But once you have Mary and Joseph, you say, well, where did they come from? Especially Mary, because Mary, remember, and the church has become convinced of this over the centuries, Mary was herself preserved from sin from the moment of her conception. So once we go to Mary's conception, we say, well, what about that conception? It's the miracle that took place in the union of her parents, Joachim and Anne. So you see what happens. We reflect on Jesus Christ. We see how he entered into the world. We see how the world was prepared for his arrival. And we get to Joachim and Anne, especially Anne. St. Anne attracts much more devotion and attention than St. Joachim. I don't know why, but she does. And so there's a lot of devotion to St. Anne. She is the, you could say, shrine of the Immaculate Conception, just as Mary herself is the shrine of the Incarnation. This feast day, as I say, arises out of centuries of pondering, but it has been given a special boost in our own times, because just last year, Pope Francis declared that the Sunday closest to this feast should be observed as the World Day for grandparents and the elderly. Joachim and Anne are not just the parents of the Blessed Virgin Mary, they are the grandparents of Jesus Christ. So this is a kind of grandparents' feast day. And Saint Pope Francis has emphasized this. Now, this just got announced last year, so it hasn't really taken root very, very much, and time will tell how this World Day of Grandparents and the Elderly grows in the church. I noticed that it has had quite a different response in the different parishes. On Sunday, I had masses in two different parishes. In the first mass I had, which was in Tagalog, they had a lot of emphasis on this pandaigdig na araw para sa mga lolo at lola at nakatatanda. Mahaba ang title of the feast day. And so the feast day of the lolos and the lolas and the elderly. And not only was there an introduction in the little missalette that they had, I think that was a Sambuhay, comes from the St. Paul Fathers. And then there was a special intention among the petitions, the prayers of the faithful, and then the parish or somewhat added three more intentions for the elderly, for the sick elderly, for those who take care of the elderly, for the grandparents, or for children who don't know their grandparents, and all these things. And then after communion, there was a very long prayer. Maybe you, those of you who were there might remember this. It was a very long prayer for Lolos and Lolas and the elderly. And then after that, at the end of the Mass, I was assigned as the priest to say a blessing for all the Lolos and Lolas. And they were all supposed to stand up. Of course, that's about 2/3 of the people in the church. And they all stand up, and we realize this day, we're not just praying for them, we're praying for ourselves. In fact, that applies to this congregation too. Almost everyone here is a Lolo or a Lola, or an elderly. Maybe there's a couple of exceptions. But okay, so that's the way it is at every single Mass. It's mostly grandparents and elderly people. Every single Mass, Sunday, weekday, any church I've ever been in, it's usually elderly people, which tells us something about how the faith is preserved and handed on. Who appreciates the faith? Well, those who have been knocked around a little bit by life and have the wisdom of the years, and they realize we need God and we belong to God. Okay, so in the first Mass I had all kinds of emphasis on the Lolos and Lolas. The second Mass I had was in English, and we used the Eucalypt, which comes from the Salesians. No mention of the World Day of grandparents and the elderly at all. Not one word, nothing in the prayers of the faithful, no special blessing. And if I hadn't mentioned it myself, I think no one in the congregation would even know it happened. So I'm only mentioning this because this is how new the observance called by Pope Francis is. But it does give prominence to this feast day, even though that's on the Sunday closest to this feast. Today is the feast day itself. And we reflect on, yes, St. Anne raising the Blessed Virgin Mary, which is what all the artwork that goes with this feast day always emphasizes, little Mary as standing or sitting next to her mother Anne and learning how to read and all those things. But we think of Joachim and Anne raising their daughter. The tradition is that they were elderly and that they had no other children. So their whole mission was to raise this holy girl. And of course, they did a great job of it. But then we also reflect on their role in the life of Jesus, because since Mary had her child relatively young, perhaps 15, 16, that means Joachim and Anne, even though they were elderly when she was born, they were probably still around when Jesus was born. And so we can ponder the relationship of Jesus with his grandparents. Now, there's nothing about that in the scriptures, but there is great reverence for the elderly, there's great respect for the family, and there's great understanding of how the promises of God are fulfilled in the human family, generation after generation. God is faithful in generation after generation, and the promises of God should be recalled from generation to generation. Well, how does that happen? It has to be passed on from parents to children, and often from grandparents to grandchildren. Now, another event that gives prominence to this day is Pope Francis's penitential pilgrimage to Canada. You know that that's where he is right now. This week he's in Canada. He's there especially to apologize to the indigenous peoples for the abuse that they suffered at the hands of the church over the years. So a lot of trauma, a lot of painful wounds, and a lot of need for healing. So that's why he's there, and we pray that it's a fruitful step in the journey of healing. But part of the reason for the timing of the trip being this week is this feast day. I didn't know this, but the indigenous peoples in Canada, at least those who have embraced the Catholic faith and who are still faithful to it, have a great devotion to St. Anne. I never heard that. And the reason, they say, is because in their native traditions, they have great reverence for the elderly. So for their ancestors, and a lot of cultures have special reverence for ancestors. Some even have ancestor worship. But In any case, I don't know exactly what the indigenous people's traditions are, but somehow they recognized in St. Anne a fitting way to express their faith. So there are some big shrines in Canada dedicated to St. Anne, and the Pope is going to two of them, I think, on this week. He's going to one of them today to, I think, offer a mass or do something. I can't remember all the details, but the timing of his pilgrimage is connected to today's feast. He turns with the indigenous peoples. He's turning to St. Anne and asking for her intercession. Well, I think, important that we recognize the place of our ancestors, the place of the elderly in culture and in the church, in families, because the danger nowadays is that their place is being minimized or even erased. So when a precious value is at risk of being lost, we have to make more effort to safeguard it, to promote it. And I think that's what happens with this feast day. We should not let the treasure of the elderly be lost to our families and to our church and to our culture. Now, it's a little funny to say this because I'm talking to elderly people. I myself am now included among the elderly since I'm now officially a senior. So here I say, this feast day is for them. Well, it's actually, this feast day is for us. So we recognize our own place in our families and in the church. Okay, that's the feast day. Now, the readings for today, we didn't read any readings specially chosen for Joachim and Anne. We just read the readings of the day, but we can make at least a brief connection. In this gospel, it's Jesus explaining the parable of the weeds and the wheat. We heard this parable on Saturday. At that time, we were focusing on the theme, "How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord mighty God." So I didn't focus too much on the parable, but we recognize that God's dwelling place is lovely, but that those of us who are going to the dwelling place are a mixture of loveliness and ugliness. And this is the condition of the world and of the human family. Weeds and wheat all growing together, all mixed together, intertwined and inseparable, so it seems. Now, it's pretty common for younger people to get more frustrated with the reality of the weeds and the wheat being mixed together. Zealous, idealistic young people want to change the world. It's a good thing they want to. They want to establish new things and tear down bad old things. Fine. But over time, they realize, yes, that's important. We have to work to establish what is good, protect what is good, build new good things. We have to reject what is evil and remove it from society. But you can't do it. You can't do it all. Some weeds can't be pulled up without destroying the wheat. And older people tend to have a better grasp of this because they've lived through it. They themselves, I should say we ourselves, know that we ourselves are a mixture of weeds and wheat. And we have some weeds that we've tried to pull out for years and they're still there. Or tried to at least inhibit their growth. They keep popping up. That's just human experience. And there's a certain freedom that comes with acknowledging that's just the way it is and that God is the one who sorts these things out. We have to keep working. We still have responsibility, but ultimately God is the one who sorts it all out. So we don't have to take that burden on ourselves or think that the whole world has to change in our generation. So there's something very, even though it's frustrating, it's confusing at times, puzzling, but it's also in some ways consoling, not that we have to live with this mixture, but that it's not our responsibility to solve all these problems and that they will be solved by God in his time. So that's a bit of good news to cling to, especially when we see more weeds than wheat. Now, in the first reading, the prophet Jeremiah is lamenting the condition of his people. It's a a mournful description of how they have been reduced, and it's their own fault. Sin has left them devastated. Now, and then he prays. He prays in the name of the people, Lord, be faithful to us, even though we don't deserve it. For your own name's sake, don't abandon us. Remember your covenant with us. Even though we have forgotten the covenant, Lord, don't forget us. And he says here, is it not you alone, O Lord, our God, to whom we look? Aren't you the one that we have to rely on more than ever now that we've messed things up? Well, this is the kind of prayer that grandparents and the elderly typically make. There are so many problems. Problems in the family, and some of them are the result of our own foolishness and sin. Sometimes problems in our families, oh, we did that, and we didn't know any better. Maybe we should have done it differently. Well, this is the way it is now. Lord, have mercy. This is the condition of our families, of our society. We look to you, Lord. Don't forget us. Don't forget the promises you have made to us. And it's with confidence in the goodness of God that these prayers are raised up. Now, that's the intercessory role of mga lola at lolo at mga nakatatanda. The intercessory role of those who know we are in a mess, and we know that we need God, and who have the faith to pray to God. I said earlier, masses are filled with elderly people. But what are those elderly people praying for? They're praying for their children, they're praying for their grandchildren, sometimes their great-grandchildren. They're praying for the neighborhood, the society they live in, which they see has so many difficulties. They're praying for peace in the world. This is a spiritual powerhouse in the church. Every day, our senior citizens, our grandparents, praying, asking the intercession of the saints, offering masses, offering sacrifices. It's a beautiful thing, and we shouldn't forget that this is going on all the time. And in fact, we ourselves are participating in it. So on this feast of Joachim and Anne, we ask their intercession, their inspiration, that we ourselves can persevere through the experience of weeds and wheat and remain confident in God as we pray for our families and for the world.